this last year and a half to 2 years, we've been going through some difficult times, you know. We've been going through wear masks, don't wear masks, you know, back and forth. Just seems like we keep getting juggled around. Nobody knows exactly what's going on. I listen to the politics going on in our congresses and all, and it just, it's like they dropped you right into the middle of a Jerry Springer show. Everybody's yelling and screaming, and nobody's saying anything. They can talk for an hour and not say anything, you know? It's just babble. But anyway, that's where we are. Today, we live in a society where everything we do or think is supposed to be politically correct or not. It's politically correct for whatever side's giving the message. But if we should forbid, say, anything that might offend another, which we should not say anything necessary to offend people, that does happen sometimes, the only way of correcting it, according to them, is to cave in, agree or believe the same as they do, being politically correct. This is just one of Satan's cunning ways to undermine God's truth, where black becomes white and white becomes black. Put in a different way, this is where evil becomes good and good becomes evil. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 1. I know it's in here. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That's where we are today. They're rebelling against God. And next we'll go to Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. They're your backbiters. Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know that the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but they approve of them. You see people out here, they'll see things going on that shouldn't be going on. But you know, they just accept it. It's okay. You know, you can't do that. You see, this is the times we're living in right now. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and I'll just read this. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, we hear a lot of that, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, lofty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This has been Satan's MO from the beginning of mankind in the Garden of Eden. when he deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve, telling them that God was a liar. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. But before this, it started before the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to Isaiah again. Chapter 14, 12 to 14. Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, who weakened the nations. Our nations are getting weaker and weaker. We're losing our clout, if you want to call it that. Nobody looks up to us anymore. For you have said in your heart, this is Satan, I will descend into heaven, or ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wants to replace God. He's a rebellion against God. Since that initial meeting in the Garden of Eden, mankind has tried to do things their way, contrary to the laws of God. Let's go back to Romans again. Romans 11, starting at verse 28. Let's see if I get the right place. I'm sorry. Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. I already read that. When the ancient Israelites were delivered out of the captivity where they were in Egypt, God gave them a set of rules that if they obeyed them, they would be blessed, and if not, they would be cursed. You can find all these in the Deuteronomy 28. I suggest that between now and Passover, which is a couple months away, you'd read these, you know, and study them. It tells us in Deuteronomy 8, verses 1, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. There was a time when the United States was very exalted as far as the countries in the world. They're not anymore. People look down on it. They almost look at us with disdain because we're not living like we should be. The immorality in this country is getting almost out of hand. You know? But, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then it goes on to list all those blessings God will pour out on them. Concluding in verse 14. Lost my place here. The Deuteronomy 28. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words that I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of your Lord, your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then he lists the many curses. He lists the curses that will be levied against them. Brethren, from time of the Garden of Eden till the time when the ancient Israelites were brought out of Egypt to our modern time, the descendants of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, not really much has changed, has it? It's Israelites that obey for God for a while and everything. They make a golden calf, something else to replace God. We're doing that now. We do that with our, with what we obey or with what we disobey by putting other things in place of God. The 1960s. Anybody remember those? No, you don't. Ushered in an era of taking prayer or any mention of God out of our schools. I remember going to school and you'd have a prayer in the morning. Every morning, every prayer. Pledge of Allegiance. All these things that you did, they don't do that now. They can have a moment of silence. Like, well, you could pray to God if you want to during that moment of silence. Don't let anybody see your lips move. You know, that's against everything. Does anyone remember Madeline O'Hara? Yeah. She, Madeline O'Hara, gets a lot of credit for getting prayer and mention of God out of our schools. But she wasn't alone. It has been going on, an ongoing battle for a long, long time. And guess what? It still is. Fights over whether or not the Ten Commandments could be displayed or where they may be displayed are still going on. In June of 1963, the Supreme Court of this great nation upheld the argument that argument of atheist Madeline O'Hara and promulgated an edict with ramifications so widespread it ensured that God would be evicted from public society across the entire spectrum of the American government system. From that day to this, not only has prayer been outlawed, God's very name has been declared anathema to the United States Constitution and forbidding to be mentioned in any federal, state, county, city, or municipal context. Of course, the jury is still on that. We keep fighting over this. They can't agree on anything. Just a mere 10 years later, Roe versus Wade legalizing abortion, resulting in the deaths, or should I say murder. At the time when Richard wrote this, is a remake of one, a sermon I've had about 5 years ago. This is more than 50 million babies had been slaughtered. Just because you wanted to do it. They were an inconvenience. I just looked up yesterday or day before that a number has moved from 50 million in 5-6 years to 62 million in that short of time. What's that telling you? This is more than the population of the states of New York and California combined by about 2 million people. That's incredible. And it gets even better, actually worse. Just as short as 5 years ago, about 6 years ago, the Supreme Court deemed marriage between same-sex couples legal in all of the United States. They're really not united. But, yet, you know, again, forced to conform to the politically correct that if they are offended, you must lay down, roll over, and play dead, and accept this lifestyle, like it or not. Have companies that were sued because they would not make a wedding cake for a gay couple. They got sued. The gay couple could have went somewhere else and got the cake. Somebody else would have been happy to get their money. But this is a society we're living in today. Are we going to follow suit, follow man, or follow God? We can follow, or we can, you and I can choose who to follow. Are we going to live our path of life? How are we going to conduct ourselves? But we cannot escape the consequences of our actions against God, who makes the ultimate judgment. God tells us in his own words in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19, I'm just going to read this. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and strength of your days. And you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, those who have gone before us, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've got a question for you. Where do you stand? Where do I stand in these matters? We have a warning in Revelation 18, verse 4. We'll turn there. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. We're instructed in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Turn with me to Matthew, please. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:11. We ask for favors from God in what is considered the Lord's Prayer, beginning in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Then in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We think of these things, food, clothing, all those things we need, but he knows we need all those. If you would, please turn to me, Galatians 5. Oops. It's more spiritual food that we need. Galatians 5, beginning of verse 16, we receive these things. It says, I say that, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. You can't do those and inherit the kingdom of God. But this is what the latter part of the of Matthew 6 was. You receive the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I hope that you will hope you know where you stand. You stand on the side of God, you stand on the side of Satan. I hope that you will continue to reflect on this. This is Joshua, verse chapter 24, the latter part of 15. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, forever. And brethren, continually pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And again, I ask, how long, Eternal, do you come?